Paul, is there a difference between a remote viewer and a psychic, or a person who looks into the future?
Yeah, there's a difference. Now, I probably ought to start with what's the same. Basically, and this is my belief, we still haven't proved in the lab, but I think that what it is that allows a psychic to function is the same thing that allows a remote viewer to function. I think there's some underlying innate human faculty that allows us to interact with the universe in ways that, science can't currently explain. But then how that is actualized, the skill sets involved in that, I think, is what differentiates a psychic from a remote viewer. Remote viewing is really specifically a skill. It's something you learn. You can't learn to be psychic, but you can learn to be a remote viewer because you are psychic. Everybody has and I hate using the word psychic because it comes with so much baggage, but nonetheless, we don't have a better term, I don't think, at the moment. Everybody is psychic. It's how you get at it that makes the difference. And remote viewing is a fairly methodological, I guess is a better way of capturing and managing that experience. Being psychic, of course, is a much more kind of laissez-faire sort of thing where lots of people do it lots of different ways, and it's maybe not as rigorous and as tightly put together oftentimes as a remote viewing might be. And I don't want to say that being psychic isn't, someone who would describe themselves as a psychic doesn't mean they're not doing a good job. It just means that they're doing it differently. It's interesting. I was actually reminded by a friend of mine of a study that was done and reported at another of our remote viewing conferences by Pam Coronado, who is essentially a psychic, but she did a study of, using remote viewers and using psychics on police cases to see how each of them performed and how
right.
One performed one way or another. The interesting thing, one of the differences between the two, is the remote viewers actually, as they described the crime, did it sequentially. They did it in the right order of events, and they kind of tied it together in the way it actually unfolded, whereas the psychic kind of got impressions from all kinds of different time points in the crime and had kind of a mixed picture of how that thing unfolded. So, both sets provided useful data. One was kind of a more structured way, which you'd expect from the more structured approach.
Tell me a little bit about the unofficial remote viewing on Mars again.
Okay. Well, if you had, for example, a while back in the program, you asked me if I'd ever remote viewed Mars, and if you'd asked me that about 6 months ago, I'd have said no.
But something happened?
Well, yeah. What happened was the archives from the program were finally released by the CIA. They released what they're calling the Stargate archives, and 90,000 documents, pages of documents, 90,000 pages of documents, including hundreds, perhaps even thousands of remote viewing sessions in there. And it occupied me for several months, for over a month, going through these things. I was creating a guide to go along with the archives, which I mark it on my website. But in the process, I came across a number of these, what I call anomaly sessions, anomaly targets.
Yeah.
And three of them were sessions I'd worked against Mars that I'd forgotten I'd ever done. In fact, I don't think I ever knew what the target was. I had been given the coordinates, I'd done the reporting, I turned it in and went on about my business, and they never actually told me what the target was. And again, this, of course, was Ed Thames instigated. He had a hand in most of these odd kinds of things we did. It's really quite interesting. Now, these particular things, I'm kind of conservative when I, draw conclusions about this stuff, and I'm not sure what to make of this data here either. I think some of it is bogus, probably. But I discovered, I reported structures and people and things like this on Mars. Now, one of these sessions, I actually draw a map of North and South America, so I think I believed I was on Earth at the time, and there was a lot of what we call overlay involved in this stuff, non-factual data that your left brain is making up, But one of them was kind of interesting because I got this impression. I'd actually described the terrain quite well, rocky, sandy, barren, but I said, there's people here. I looked the session up after you asked me that because I was curious to know that it was there. I said, there's people there. In fact, I'll read you what I say. First of all, seems abandoned, but there are people there. And then I would try to describe the people. I said, they're visitors. They're looking and they're working. I say, visitors in that they come there from somewhere else.
So they're not Martians.
I guess not. I don't know. They come to stay a while, but they're not from there, and they never stay permanently.
Could they have been us from the future?
Yeah, that's possible. You know, it's hard to tell from this. But here's some of the things. Further things I said, their activities involved examining, organizing, cataloging, consulting, and then that reminded me of kind of like an archaeological dig.
Right.
And, you know, perhaps. Now, the interesting thing, one of many interesting things here, is that Joe McMonigal's sessions that he worked with Skip, probably 3 years earlier than this one was done in 1987, you know, Joe reported, like, underground facilities, and, you know, no one was alive there, but, you know, he described Martians and stuff, and, of course, he wasn't told it was Mars either. He was just given a set of coordinates. But he said it was abandoned, long dead, you know, that kind of stuff. And if this is, as you suggest, and possible, I suppose, that, you know, this is humans finally visiting Mars, and if Joe's session is correct, then we would expect there to be a kind of an archaeological dig aspect to the visit.
Oh, by all means. Did they look like they were in suits, space suits?
I didn't pick up on that. You know, and of course, here's the problem. You always got to keep this in mind. My left brain, again, was expecting that this was a terrestrial target. You know, I couldn't tell the difference between a Martian coordinate and an Earth coordinate.
Yeah, I understand.
And and so it, I may have been adding things, expecting to have been targeted on the Earth. But, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean that some of this data isn't legitimate. And the way this one session went, I think it had a higher quotient of real data as opposed to some of the others, like the one where I drew North and South America, which was obviously off.